I'd like to read some verses from the Gospel of Matthew. It's chapter number 2. And I trust that if you have a copy of God's Word, that you'll open it there. But if not, just listen to the Word of God. And I want to consider tonight something concerning the wise men that we read of here in Matthew chapter 2. It's often been said, you maybe know the little quote that's been given, wise men sought Jesus, and they still do. And it's our prayer tonight that you would be wise and seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. Matthew chapter 2, and let's read from verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went over them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And we'll just end there at verse number 13, and we know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We're going to pray together again just before we say anything about these words that we've read, and let's ask God for his help as we, for the short time that allows us to think upon these important matters. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee tonight already for the boys and the girls, and we thank thee, Lord, for every scripture text that has been quoted and for every song that has been sung. And O God, we pray just now that thou wilt send thy spirit, and Father, grant that we might hear the voice of God this evening. Lord, we need the help of heaven. And Lord, I just give myself to thee now and pray for the cleansing and sanctifying power of the precious blood. And I pray, Lord, that you will use this earthen vessel. Help me, Lord, to speak well of the Savior. And Lord, we pray that the word of God will have free course and find a resting place in every heart. And may there be those tonight who will find themselves thinking earnestly about these important issues, we pray in the Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. Boys and girls and mums and dads, I want to speak tonight for a little while to you about the wise men that came from the east to worship the Lord. Now, we're not exactly sure for certain where these wise men came from. I believe they came from Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq. They would have had a different color of skin than most of us tonight. They would have dressed a lot differently than most of us this evening. And some of us tonight, whenever we see Christmas cards or presentations of the Nativity, we often come to the conclusion that there were three wise men. But we're not exactly sure as well how many wise men there may have been. There might have been three, there might have been 10, there might have been 20, there might have been only two. The Bible doesn't tell us how many wise men there were. The Bible doesn't tell us as well that they were kings. Sometimes we hear about the three kings coming to worship the Lord Jesus. We are not told that they were kings either. And sometimes we also see pictures of the wise men coming to the stable along with the shepherds, and they're bowing and worshiping the Lord Jesus as he lay in a manger. Well, the Bible doesn't tell us that the wise men even went to the stable, because after the Lord was born and laid in that stable and the shepherds came and the shepherds went, it was sometime after that that the wise men came. And we find that whenever they arrived at last, it says in verse number 11 that they came to a house. And so the Lord had moved from the stable with his Mary and Joseph to this particular house. Now, the Bible says that they were wise men. The Bible, in fact, describes them as being magi. And that word magi, it literally means astronomers or even magicians. These men were very, very wise. They received a good education. They were intelligent. They were clever. But there's more than that to this, because they were wise in different ways. And I want to ask you a question tonight. Why were the wise men so wise? What were some of the wise things that the wise men did, as we read about them here in Luke chapter 2? And I want to speak to the youngest, and I want to speak to the oldest, and we want to notice what wise things these wise men did. Now, this isn't about having a big brain. It's not about getting a university degree. It's not about doing the best that you can in school. All those things maybe have their place. It's not about having a high IQ, but it's about doing things that are wise in the sight of God. Now, there are people in our world today that aren't so wise. Some of you maybe know who this boy is. Anybody know? Maybe not. We used to read this little story at home at school, yeah? Mr. Man, yeah, Mr. Silly. And we used to read this little story when I was a little boy at school. And sometimes people aren't like the wise men, but they're rather like Mr. Silly. And they say silly things, and they do silly things, and they do foolish things. And the Bible speaks about people that are often unwise. For example, it says in the book of Psalms that the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. And there are people in our world today, and they'll say, you know, there's no God, and there was no creator, and whenever we die, that's it, and there's no heaven, and there's no hell, and there's nothing after this life, and there's no God. And yet the Bible says that a person who would say that there's no God is saying something that's very unwise and saying something that's very foolish. And then we read as well in the Bible about a certain man. He was a builder by trade. And he went one day and he decided that he was going to build a beautiful big house. And instead of building his house upon a rock, the Bible says he built his house upon the sand. And it says that that was a very foolish thing to do, because whenever the storms came and the rains came and the winds came and the trials came, his house fell flat. And the Lord Jesus said, there are many people, and they're like that, and they're building, and they're living in this world, but they don't really have a solid foundation in life. And then whenever trial come and things come that they can't handle, they fall so easily. And that's a very foolish thing to do. But why were the wise men so wise? Well, the first thing that I believe makes the wise men wise was the fact that they inquired after the Lord Jesus. Listen to these words. It says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, that the wise men came from the east and they arrived in Jerusalem, and then they asked this really important question, and they asked, where is he that is born King of the Jews? They asked the question, where could we find Jesus Christ? Where can we find this one who has been sent into the world, and he's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords? We want to find him. We want to know where he is. And they were wise because they asked this question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? In other words, they wanted to discover who Jesus Christ was. Folks, tonight, that's a very important thing. We need to be absolutely sure in our minds that we know who Jesus Christ is. And that we ask all the right questions. Because every time you turn a page in a diary, every time you look at a calendar, every time you see the date written down, and it's whatever date it is, December 2013, that is a testimony to the fact that Jesus Christ walked this earth. 2013 AD, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. And so they were wise because they wanted to get the answer to this question: where can I find the one that is born King of the Jews? And then another thing I believe that made them wise was they had a desire not only to find out who he was and where he was, but the wise men also wanted to worship him. Now, friends, if we're absolutely honest tonight, we all have a desire to worship someone or something. I'm not sure this zapper, I may be pressing it too hard, seems to be skipping a couple at a time, but sometimes don't we have a desire to worship? For example, if some of the top footballers got a certain haircut tonight, some of the people in the meeting maybe would go out during the week and get their hair cut exactly the same way. A number of years ago, it was David Beckham, and if he grew his hair long, lots of Manchester United fans grew their hair long. And then if he went and got his hair shaved off, they did the same. And we can follow footballers or sporting stars or pop stars, and we follow them and we do what they do and we want to be like them, and we maybe used to put their posters up in our bedrooms and in our homes, and whatever they do, we take our lead and our example from them, because we all have a desire in our hearts to worship someone or something. You know, if you were to go to any tribe in the world tonight that has never had a Bible and has never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, you would find that that tribe, wherever they're found, whether it's in Africa or South America or some of the Indian islands or islands in the Pacific, they would all be found to be worshipping something. Some of them worship the sun, some of them worship the moon, some of them worship animals, some of them worship graven images, idols, because we all have a desire in our hearts to worship something. But these men were especially wise because they said, "We are come to worship him." They wanted to worship the King of Kings, and they wanted to worship the Lord. And the Bible says that the first and great commandment is this: that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy mind and with all of thy strength. The God that created you wants you to worship him. And the wise men were wise because they wanted to worship the Lord. They were also wise because it says that they followed a star. God gave them a star, something that would guide them, something that would lead them, something that would direct them, and it was something outside of themselves. It says in verse number 2, "We have seen his star in the east." Then it says in verse number 9, "When they departed, lo, the star went, which they saw in the east, it went before them." And then in verse number 10, it says that they saw the star again. Because God looked down and God said, "Here's certain men, and they want to worship me, and they want to serve me, and they want to know me, but they can't find their own way, they can't find their own direction. So I'm going to send a star, a special sign from heaven, something outside of themselves, and that's going to guide them to the place where they will find the Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, they needed something outside of themselves. It wasn't enough for them to say, "Well, you know, I've got a good idea." Or for somebody else to say, "Well, I think we should go this way." Or somebody else to say, "Well, you know, you should go that way." God sent a special star to guide them. And friends, God knows that we don't know the right way to take in life. You know, if you were to listen to the religious leaders in the world, or the political leaders in the world, or all of the great thinkers in the world, some will say, "This is how you should live. This is the way that you should go, and that's the thing that you should do, and here's how you should live, and this is what you should do." But we need something more than the thoughts of men. We need something outside of ourselves. And therefore, God has given us his word, the Bible, to lead us and to guide us. So you don't need to go through life ignorantly, hoping and thinking and just trusting that you've got it right in your mind and in your heart. If you trust in the Lord, the Bible says, with all of your heart, and lean not onto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, the Bible says, he will direct your paths. And we all need guidance and direction in life. If I was to ask you this very simple question, how do you know that you're going to be in heaven? I wonder what your answer would be. And how can you be absolutely sure that whenever you die and you leave this world, that you're going to the right place? You know, some of you tonight would probably say something like, well, I hope I am. Or, I think I'm going to heaven. Or I would like to think that whenever I get to heaven, God will let me in. And, you know, I have tried my best and I've got my own faith and I've got my own ideas and I've got my own beliefs. We need to be like the wise men and have something solid to lead us and to guide us. And that is found in the Word of God. B-I-B-L-E, best instruction before leaving earth. They were also wise because the Bible says they brought gifts. Can any of the children tonight tell me what the gifts were that the wise men brought? Yeah? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's exactly right. And here in the picture, we've got something of what gold, frankincense, and myrrh might look like. And so they came to the Lord with these costly gifts. And those gifts were very, very special. Gold was expensive. Frankincense was expensive. And myrrh was expensive. But you know, those different gifts that the wise men brought, they spoke about the Savior that they were coming to worship. Because gold reminds us of wealth, riches, and royalty. And this one that had been born in Bethlehem was the King of the Jews. Frankincense was a type of spice that would have been burned on the altars in Jewish synagogues and temples in different places. And it went up as a sweet incense to God, and it filled the house of God with this beautiful aroma. And that speaks about the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that not only was he king, but his life would be pure and sinless. And those are things that we need to think upon, because none of us are sinless. We've all sinned and we've broken the law of God. And then they brought this gift of myrrh. And myrrh was something that was used whenever a person died, and they would anoint that body with myrrh to preserve it and to prepare it for the burial. And as they presented the gift of gold, it was a reminder of Christ's kingship. And as they presented the frankincense, it was a reminder of his perfect life. And as they presented the gift of myrrh, it was a reminder that one day this king would go to a cross and would die for the sins of his people. But you know another reason why the wise men were so wise? They listened to God's warnings. Because whenever they went to King Herod and they asked him the question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Herod got very suspicious. And it's like Herod saying, what do you mean the King of the Jews? Sure, I'm the king in this empire. And Herod was very crafty. And he says, whenever you find this king, would you come back to Jerusalem and tell me where he is, because I want to go and worship him as well. And whenever the wise men went and worshipped the Lord, it says in verse number 12 that being warned of God in a dream that they should not return unto Herod, they departed their own way into their own country, but they went a different way. And so God sent them a warning. And God said to the wise men, listen, don't go back to Herod. Because Herod wants to seek the young child's life to destroy it, and he might also destroy your lives as well. And so God sent them a warning. And friends, they listened to that warning. Now, sometimes in life, we see warning signs. I was in a shop quite a number of months ago in Coleraine, and it was late at night, and I was getting something, and there was a man standing behind the counter. And just at the door of the shop, somebody had been washing the floor, and so the floor was quite wet and slippery. And so the man in the shop had put up this big, large, yellow warning sign just about the height of my waist. And this woman came in, and she wasn't looking where she was going, and she tripped over the warning sign, and then she lifted it up again, and she set it down, and then she was looking at something in the counter, and she turned round, and she tripped over the warning sign again. And the man in the shop says, "Watch out for the warning signs." A little bit cheeky. He says to her, "Watch out for the warning sign." And she actually tripped over the warning sign. She didn't even see the warning sign, but there it was, this bright yellow sign right in the middle of the shop, and she tripped over it. And sometimes we see warning signs in life, and yet we trip over them, and we maybe don't even really notice that they're there. And here's a warning sign. And sometimes if you go to a supermarket and you buy a particular product, maybe it's food or something, and you lift it up, there'll be a warning sign in the back of it. Maybe an allergy notice. For example, if you buy a packet of peanuts out of a supermarket, you'll look at the back and there'll be a little warning sign, and it'll say on it, "Warning, contains nuts." Warning contains, and if you buy a packet of peanuts, you would think that there would be nuts in it, but some people need the warning to tell them that there's actually nuts in that bag of peanuts. And then there's other warning signs, the stop sign. You get to the end of a road and there's a big sign and it says stop, and that just means that we're to stop. It's a warning sign. And here's another warning sign. Anybody know what this one is? Yeah. Electricity, that's right, that you could get an electric shock if you touch a certain thing, and there's danger of electricity. And again, it's a warning sign. Here's another one. Anybody know what that one is? You'd probably not see it in Northern Ireland. Yeah? Crocodile sign, yeah. Watch out for crocodiles. Now, you'll probably not see a sign like that in Northern Ireland. Here's another warning sign. Do you know what that one is? Yeah? Yeah, watch where you step. Watch what you step on. That's exactly right. Watch you don't slip in a banana skin or something like that. Here's another warning sign. You ever see one like that before? Beware of the dog. Sometimes whenever I'm going out, giving out invites for church or whatever it is, or maybe going to visit somebody that's not so well, you'll see a sign like this, and it says, "Beware of the dog." Or sometimes a picture of a little tiny dog like a Chihuahua or a Jack Russell, and it'll say, beware of the dog. I can make the gate in 2.8 seconds, can you? And this wee dog's going to come out and it's going to get me. Beware of the dog. Here's another warning. Oops. This thing's going very quick. Oh. Oh. Very sensitive. It's like some of us, very sensitive. What's this one? Does anybody know what that is? Yeah? That's right. Beware of elderly people at crossing the road in case you cry. This isn't a picture of me and my wife, by the way, out for a walk, but beware. And boys and girls, whenever I saw this warning sign, I began to think about a little verse in the Bible where it says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Because sometimes people say, "Well, you know, I'm going to get saved. I'm going to ask God to come into my life, and I'm going to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I'm going to do it whenever I'm older." And God gives us warnings many times in the Bible, and he says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." And the Bible says that we're not to boast of tomorrow, for we might never see tomorrow. And we might never live to be old people. And even whenever we are old, the Bible says that God's Spirit, it might not always strive with you. And so whenever God speaks to us, whenever we're young, that's the best time to trust in the Lord. You'll see the next one. Danger of death. And that's a very serious warning sign. Some of them maybe just aren't so serious. But here's a very serious one. You maybe see this on a pylon, big electrical tower or some other place or in something. And it says, "Now you need to be very, very careful, because if you don't listen or heed this warning sign, there could be a very real danger of death." And again, the Bible tells us that someday we're all going to die. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And maybe over this last year that's gone by, there have been times whenever you've thought about your life and about your past and about your future, and you've been concerned about certain things, and maybe you've stood maybe in a certain situation and you've been really worried and you've been thinking, you know, I would need to give my heart and life to God, and I would need to get right with God, and God has been sending warnings into your life. And it would be very wise for you to heed and to listen to those warnings. The wise men were wise because they inquired after the Lord Jesus. They were wise because they wanted to worship Him. They were wise because they followed His leading and His guidance and His direction. They were wise because they brought gifts to the Lord. They were wise because they listened to God's warning. But lastly, they were also wise because they endured hardships. You think of these men coming from the east, from Babylon, all throughout that wilderness and that desert, in this particular time of the year, whenever the Roman government were at their height, and all of the dangers that they would face, the hardships, the hunger, the thirst, the cold, the trials, the difficulties, but you know, they kept on going until they got to where the Lord was. And whenever they met the Lord and they worshipped the Lord and they gave their hearts to the Lord, they went back to Babylon or to the east or wherever they were from, and they kept on persevering for God. They didn't give up. And you know, we're living in days where many people will say, I'm a Christian, I want to trust God. And then whenever hardship comes, they maybe stop and they maybe lapse back. And yet the Bible exhorts us and encourages us to be wise and to keep on following the Lord and to keep on walking with Him and keep on trusting our God. I would plead with you tonight to be wise, to seek after God, and to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, and to listen to God's warnings, and to persevere, and to follow on and follow through with the Lord. Now let's just have a word of prayer together before we sing our closing hymn. Let us unite our hearts together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight, Lord, that You will help us all, O God, to be wise and to respond to the Word of God. We thank Thee, Lord, for the boys and girls and for the mums and dads and for the visitors who are here tonight. And Lord, we have heard again the gospel that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Help us, O God, to be wise and to make sure that we have trusted Him and that it is well with our souls. Help us as we sing our closing hymn. We pray in the Savior's name. Amen.